Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 21st, 2023, and we are reading from the Big Book on page XXIII, the third paragraph down, which begins, "As the message of recovery has reached large numbers." Today's readers are Melanie C. reading the 12 steps, Betsy H. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Liz A., Vanessa G., and Sherry Z. Our share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, December 20th, the 10 a.m. East Coast meeting is 20,957 or 20957. And our share ID for this morning's 7 a.m. East Coast meeting is 20,959 or 20959. At the end of the meeting, we will hear from Sherry M., our newcomer greeter, and from Leslie M., any announcements for us. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Melanie C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Melanie.
Hello, Kathy Kay. Hello, everyone. Wherever you are in this world, my name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Kathy. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for jumping in for that. Appreciate it. Okay, I will now ask Betsy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Betsy H., recovered compulsory eater in California. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Yes.
Thanks so much, Betsy H., for joining in today. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 week. 1 year, sorry, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the big book on page XXIII, paragraph 3, and I will ask Liz A. to begin reading. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz A., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. As the message of recovery has reached larger numbers of people, it has also touched the lives of a vastly greater variety of suffering alcoholics. When the phrase, quote, "we are people who normally would not mix," unquote, page 17 of this book, was written in 1939, it referred to a fellowship composed largely of men and a few women with quite similar social, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. Like so much of AA's basic text, those words have proved to be far more visionary than the founding members could have ever imagined. The stories added to this edition represent a membership whose characteristics of age, gender, race, and culture have widened and have deepened to encompass virtually everyone the first 100 members could have hoped to reach. Good morning again. This is such an incredible paragraph. First of all, I love this foreword to the fourth edition, because when I came into the Mother program, we were reading the third edition. So this is, you know, one that was written by someone other than Bill. And what strikes, you know, strikes me is that we are people who normally would not. You know, when they say that, they mean, you know, people who normally wouldn't mix in those days were like whites and non-whites, you know, Christians and non-Christians, gender, you know, male, female, other. We're just people who normally would not mix. So what is it that ties us all together? You know, it refers to page 17, which is chapter 2, There Is a Solution. And page 17, to me, the reason that this works is because not only do we have a common problem, we have a common solution. And that's the difference between us and people on the Titanic. They didn't have a common solution. And the other thing is the reason that we do work, even though we normally would not mix, is thanks to the traditions, that we keep principles before personalities. And so we leave outside issues outside so that we don't cause any conflict between us, and we stay focused on carrying the message to more and more alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, so that we can be successful in our solution. And I think that's all I have to share, so I will pass and can't wait to hear what others have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A., for getting us started this morning. Okay. Let's see. I will name names of people, first name, first initial of your last name, who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared in the last 3 days, please allow others to share first. Who would like to share today?
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Barbara E. Anyone else? Well, Barbara, I think we'll let you get started, and hopefully you will inspire some others as well. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, I'll jump into the water.
Great.
I'm ready to go. Okay,
great.
Thank you all. Thank you for that reading. I love the foreword to the first edition, second edition, third, and fourth, because I got to see how our group enlarged. We're not an exclusive group, we're an inclusive group. So I don't care whether you came from Yale or Yale or Timbuktu or Kalamazoo. We all have the same issues here. We have issues with food. And this book, this big book, is a textbook for living. And the main purpose of the book is to show precisely how we have recovered and that there is a solution. Not many solutions, but for me, just for me, one solution. And they talk about the way of living in this book. I think it must be about 20 times. It's a process for me, not an event. And when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous over 2 decades ago, all I wanted was to make a good impression, put up a false front. That's all I had. I played the game. If it looked good, it is good. Today, I do that less. The OA path is not always easy for me, or comfortable or smooth, but it is leading me step by step to a new freedom, one prayer, one meeting, one phone call, one honest share with my sponsor, making an honest assessment of my spiritual blockers and the problems that we create. Like for me, it's being super critical, judgmental, dishonest, controlling, fearful. And through that knowledge, it helps me see what I can do to change. It helps me to be free of old patterns for me that stifle growth, cutting away old growth to make room for new growth, to enable my roots to grab that new soil enriched by the sunlight, and to finally be able to be willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I don't know, will you help me? And everything I think I know, I don't. And I have to be patient and accept my higher power's timetable. Believe, really believe I can be enough. I can be worthy enough. I can be loved enough. I can love enough. And I learn to love myself by doing what it says, step by step, in this book. And I give myself permission to be imperfect. 5 steps forward and perhaps 3 steps backwards, but always slowly moving forward. And to know that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, everyone. I need you. You're my sisters and brothers from another mother. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Okay, I'm sure others were inspired by that beautiful share. Who else would like to share this morning?
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Sherry M. Is that right?
Sherry M. Yes.
Claire E. from the UK.
Wait, please, Claire, 1 minute. I didn't get the first name. Sherry M. or Faith M.?
Sherry. Thank you, Kathy. It's Sherry.
Okay, thank you. And then I have Claire M. And who else?
Roz G.
Roz G.
Kevin M.
Kevin M. Anyone else?
Vanessa
okay.
G.
Vanessa G. Okay, thanks, Vanessa.
Eileen.
Eileen.
M.
M. Thanks, Eileen. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with this group. Sherry M., Claire M., Roz G., Kevin M., Vanessa G., and Eileen M. Please share with us, Sherry.
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Thank you so much, and thank you, Liz, for getting us started. I heard so much in the opening share, and really the emphasis of the traditions, which without the traditions, we don't have these meetings going. It says, I highlighted here as a promise, you know, just that visionary, you know, this basic text, this book, these words, this original way to get recovered back in 1939, and now we're looking at the foreword to the fourth edition, which was written in 2001. The same solution is what works today, and how visionary they were, these founding members. For me, that is a miracle. It is God-given, and I believe that God definitely had a hand in helping. We are normally people that would not mix. I have learned to tolerate the intolerable, to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable. And all of this is a result of working the steps and working the traditions day in and day out. And my heart has softened, and I would do anything for anybody at any time, at any program, who is suffering from the same illness that I have. It doesn't matter. I have driven to the slums of Los Angeles, to very scary neighborhoods, to try to help those suffering. And I've also gone to places like the Four Seasons to help somebody. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. That is something that a lot of times we don't have control over how we come into this world, but I do have control on how I leave the world. And these steps have given me a way to accept people, to accept circumstances, to go with the flow, to be all-inclusive. Everyone, you know, everyone, as long as you're following the tradition and not trying to, you know, have contention in the meeting, let's say, as long as we're keeping harmony, then everyone is welcome. We always do what's best for the common good, not for one individual's good. And this way of living has helped me in my marriage, in my family, in my extended family, in my work, and sponsoring others. And ultimately, there's one authority, and it's a loving higher power. That's the power that's keeping me recovered today. That's the power that runs my life. And as long as I turn everything over to that, I have a very peaceful life, once living in freedom from the syndrome I hope has deadly disease. And thank you so much for saving my life one day at a time, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry M. And Claire M., please share with us.
Thanks so much, Kathy. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in the UK. And I'm in my car, actually, and I don't have my book in front of me. So this is really from memory of what was shared. And the thing that really stuck with me and that sends shivers up my spine in this paragraph is we are usually people who would not mix. And that, you know, that proved to be far more visionary than even the founders could imagine. And this was written, you know, the fourth edition was written back at the turn of the century. So this is 23 years ago or so now. And even then, I think, you know, fast forward to now today, and I would suspect even at that fourth edition writing, if anybody had visioned how this fellowship would be working now, it would blow their minds. It would blow my mind. I'm not even sure we had dial-up then. And here I am in the UK, sitting in my car at the side of the road on a meeting, which is predominantly US-based. You know, it's just mind-blowing. And, you know, I've come across sorts of people. I was reading something today on traditions about there being no professional class, but also that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, meaning that we're all equal. Anyone else does for a living, or what my, you know, gender, race, color, creed, faith, religion, beliefs, non-beliefs, it just doesn't matter, because I'm here for the primary purpose of getting well and trying to help other people. But I was also thinking that doesn't mean I have to like everyone. It doesn't mean that necessarily I'm going to get on with everyone, or that everyone is going to resonate in the same way as certain fellows do. You know, I still have my tribe, and I still have people within the fellowship, honestly, that I have struggled with, you know, personalities wise. But again, we come back to traditions. It reminds me that this is about principles and not personalities, and that it's okay. We can all coexist. We can all coexist. We are people that usually wouldn't mix, and yet there exists amongst us a fellowship which is indescribably wonderful. And, you know, that line, even saying it now, again, sends shivers up my spine. I'm lucky and privileged to be alive at a time where I can be part of this, I can participate in it, and I can be one of many. You know, just another bozo on the bus, I guess. And that I do have the resources and the technology, and I'm so grateful for that, because it's enhanced my recovery, you know, tens, hundreds of times, you know, to be able to reach out in a way that our founders just couldn't. There might have been face-to-face stuff, but there certainly wasn't that ability to reach as far as we can now. So, yeah, really thank you for the reading, and it's really good to plug in. It's busy. It's always busy this time before. And really lovely to take a nice deep breath this afternoon for me and be part of a meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Claire A. And Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is the county of Los Angeles. And I also just want to talk about, you know, a person that would not normally mix with people. And, you know, I grew up in Northridge, California, in Porter Ranch, California, in the 1970s, as a mixed race young lady. And the neighborhood I grew up in was 99% Caucasian. And there was one black boy in my class and one Asian American, I think Chinese girl, and me. I'm Creole. I'm mixed races, black, French, and Indian. And I just felt like, man, I don't know who to identify with. And when the kids saw my my cousins who have black skin, some of them do, brown skin, they called me the N-word. And I wasn't okay, you know, there was something wrong with me. I also had very curly hair, and a girl called me a Brillo pad head. And I don't have a lot of emotion over that today, thanks to a lot of therapy and help and not letting that hurt me. But I use it in talks to identify with being hurt or bullied or not feeling okay as a kid. And throughout my life, I have struggled to fit in. But when I came into the 12-step rooms, I felt an automatic identification with everyone having a problem of being a compulsive overeater. And over the years, have worked with either sponsored or been sponsored by, you know, someone from a totally different race, religion, belief, country. I have a sponsor in Sweden, and I have a sponsee in Brazil, and my personal sponsor is Hispanic. And I love it. I love it because, man, when we talk, we speak the language of the heart. We relate to each other. We have the same issues. It doesn't matter what race we are or creed or religion. None of that matters, as has been said on these meetings, you know, so far today. And I just really wanted to put myself in that identification category as well. When I come to meetings, I don't introduce myself. Hi, I'm Roz and I'm Creole. No, I say, hi, I'm Roz and I'm a recovered, or I'm a compulsive overeater. And that's all I really need to say. It's humbling, and I love to sit in the chair. I've earned my seat with a lot of pain and suffering, and that's all I really need to do to get here. So, and to stay here, you know, I need to be working with another compulsive overeater, no matter who they are. So thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Kevin M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kevin N. From Whidbey Island, Washington, way out here on the West Coast. Gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. Glad here to be this morning. It jumps out at me, this line, we are people who would not normally mix. Like, obviously, they're talking about social groupings, but also, you know, we're isolationists in our disease. Like, we would not normally mix. But it jumps out at me, especially, when we read the first tradition today, that the word that hit me was unity. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. And it just strikes me that, you know, besides treating the primary ailment, the compulsive behavior that we have, whether that's food or alcohol or whatever it is that we struggle with, this program only works by bringing people together into community. And the primary mechanism of that action is breaking down our ego. Deconstructing our own delusional self-images about who we are and what our worth is and who we deserve to socialize with, basically inviting us to come out from the facades that we hide behind and see ourselves reflected in the face of another, regardless of where they came from or where we came from. Learn to embrace an empathy that's larger than our resentments. And I am absolutely preaching to myself this morning, because last night I got absolutely thrashed in a non-12-step meeting, a community meeting, by someone who went after my character, went after my bona fides, and that was the last thing that I had before I had to try and go to bed, which took hours to try and bring myself to sleep. And now I'm waking up today, and there's that resentment again. And hearing this reading, we are people who would not normally mix. It feels like there's a huge invitation for me to break down my own ego and see this other person as sick, because I'm sick and they share in my sickness. And I don't know that I can find love for them in this moment, but I can certainly find pity, love's scrappy little brother. And that enough right now is for me to find a place in my heart to start the process of forgiving that and letting go of that and moving on, and knowing that my own recovery is more important than any perceived slight that I might have suffered. So I'm glad to be here today, glad to claim my seat, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Vanessa G., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for taking the meeting. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. Vision has saved my life. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. When I read this part of the fourth edition, I think back to my very first encounter with 12-step recovery in another program. And it was in 1989, 50 years after the book was originally written. And it was my very first meeting. I walked in, and it was a small meeting. There was probably maybe 9 people there, including myself. And everyone else was male. And I think about that often when I think about meetings in Overeaters Anonymous, how we're very heavily weighted in female membership. And I know that's changing, but the men that I meet, my name is out a lot of places as someone who can be contacted for OA. The men that I meet that want to come into this program, often, I think, hit, that stigma of being in a quote-unquote women's program. For me, it was sort of a point of pride, that I could hang with the guys. But I find that to be a little bit different for our male counterparts. And I try really hard to bring the message of recovery to them. I have a speaker meeting, and in my speaker meeting, I try very hard to get a good balance of men and women to share this message. I think we're getting the message out. I mean, Vision in particular seems to have quite a few male voices. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was just a little bit about how our particular meeting seems to reach a class of, food alcoholics, a class of seriously afflicted compulsive overeaters that some other meetings may not be able to. And for me anyway, that's been the truth. And I really don't care whether you guys had worked purple aliens when I showed up. You had the solution that I needed. And that I absolutely grabbed onto because I was dying. And Vision has saved my life. I will never, back away from doing service for this meeting. I owe it a great debt. And thank you very much for letting me share this morning. Thank you very much for bringing the message to me.
Thanks so much, Vanessa G. Eileen M., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. This is a great meeting. I love hearing all the shares. I was thinking I got into OA in the 80s, and at that time, it was pretty much all women. I didn't see any men for years. And I thought, I developed this belief that, well, this disease only affects women, and that the male version of this disease is alcoholism, because there seemed to be a lot more men in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, my face-to-face meeting, we had several meetings in this area, and it was predominantly white middle-class women. And that was still today, actually. I live in a rural area, so, we just have a small representation of OA here, actually. There's not really much diversity. But, you know, it wasn't until I started going to conventions that I saw men there and, you know, much more diversity there. And, you know, also the advent of the technology, that's also helped me to see, you know, other populations of people. And I'm really grateful because of the technology that, you know, exposed us to just many different kinds of people and different races and different countries. And, you know, I'll never forget the time I actually encountered a man who talked about restricting, because that was, he was like me, you know, because I used to restrict. Weight was restricting. And I met this man, he was in New York, and he said he was an actor. I mean, I couldn't believe that an actor would be in OA, but he had anorexia, and I couldn't believe that either. I thought, a man with anorexia. And, you know, what's so nice is this program is open to all, you know, all who struggle with this disease. And, you know, if I had not come to OA, I would have thought I was the only one who struggled with compulsive overeating, and I would have suffered in silence because I had a lot of shame about this disease and having it. And I love how it says basic text, because the word basic means, you know, starting point or foundation. You know, what was said about the language of the heart, I love that, because the language of the heart is universal, and, you know, everyone can understand because we're all human. So anyway, I'm really grateful to be here, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Eileen M. Okay, it's now time to take some more names of people who would like to share. And for those of us who joined us late, we are sharing on the third paragraph on page XXIII in the forward to the fourth edition. The paragraph begins, "As the message of recovery has reached." Okay, so who else would like to share with us today?
Janet G. from
Janet
Nevada.
Okay, Janet G., thank you. Who else?
Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Kathleen W. from Illinois, yeah.
Karen E.
Karen, is that Karen or Sharon? I'm sorry.
Karen.
Sharon E.
No, okay. Karen.
Okay, Karen E. Okay, thank you,
yeah.
Karen. Got it. Anyone else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Anyone else? Okay, let's see how we do with this group. Janet G., Kathleen W., Karen E., and Jordan L. Please go ahead, Janet G.
Good morning. I'm Janet G. from Nevada. And one thing I noticed about this program that I really enjoyed is when I would hear a speaker, they could, especially in AA, but OA also, we can have nothing in common. I mean, they can be an ex-CIA agent, you know, but we have one main thing in common that I understand with them completely, and it is so nice. And as far as racial stuff goes, I was born illegitimate in a very Catholic world in the 1950s, which was very family orientated. So I was a walking, talking symbol of sin wherever I went. And, you know, I wasn't family. It was just me and my mom and all that baloney. And, when I married, I was filling out this form, and I've always put white because I'm German descent, but my husband wasn't. So when I would do my kids, I would put they're white, they're Hispanic, they're Indian. And then I got so disgusted with checking all those boxes that now I check other and I write in human. And that's my little protest, and I do it wherever I can get away with it, you know, so that I figure it's not real important for their stuff, you know, their funding and stuff. So that's my little protest and my little fun. So, I get sick of it. I had a stepfather that was all Irish. Everything's Irish. And I've been around people that, oh, Italians are the best. And, oh, there's only one way. The Mexicans, their food is so good. And that's the only way to do things. And, you know, baloney. Diversity is great. We all have something to offer. And there's something beautiful in each person to discover. And with this program, my mind and heart are open to it today. So thank you for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you very much, Janet D. And Kathleen W. from Illinois, please share with us.
Good morning, family. Kathleen W. from Illinois. I love this. We are people who normally would not mix. And I relate to so many of the shares today. About, you know, in my default is to be isolated and not mix with too many people. It's overwhelming sometimes for me. So I think because of my codependency, sometimes, you know, mixing with a lot of groups is sometimes overwhelming. But I'll tell you, I have, through this program, I've come out of that isolation in such a great way. Just the love of the people in this program has drawn me out and from, you know, staying on the periphery. And Vision especially has drawn me out into a place where I'm leaning in to the best of my ability right now rather than leaning out. And when I first came into OA, I had been in another program and still am. And I judged people. You know, by the way they looked, how can they possibly help me? What do they have to say? And, you know, my higher power just spoke to me that I needed to put that aside. I needed to put that judging aside. And it came up right away. And if I was going to move forward, and I did, as I did that, as I put that aside and just listened to people and as what they had to say, regardless of what they looked like, became life to me, and I could relate to it in a way that helped me to heal in various ways. But the most important thing I've learned through these traditions, these wonderful traditions, through these marvelous steps, I have learned how to, and I'm learning still, how to love the unlovable. I believe that's what I'm called to do myself, learning to love the unlovable. And there's been people that I've known that I thought, oh man, I just could only take them. They were part of my fellowship. I could only take them in small doses. And I just could barely stand to be in their presence. And one of these people asked me to sponsor them. And I just prayed and said, God, please, what would you have me do here? And I said, yes. And I began working with that person. And as I work with that person and listen to her, I tell you, I fell in love with her. The more I met with her, the more I fell in love with her. And I told her that. And not that I couldn't stand her at first, but I told her, you know, the more I know you, the more I fall in love with you. And that was gave such healing to her heart and healing to mine. And so I find that, you know, in all my fellowships, there's people that, you know, they're difficult to deal with. I have another sponsee that's kind of difficult to deal with sometimes. And I'll tell you, it's really taught me a lot about myself, about tolerance, about patience, about appreciating. Because even though she's difficult, she's so faithful to call me. And this helps me stay in touch with what I need to do, which is working with others. And I'm just so grateful. She's so faithful about that. So thank God for these traditions, and thank God for you, all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Kathleen W. Karen E., followed by Jordan L., and then we will wrap up the meeting. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen E., very grateful you recovered one day at a time in Southern California. A lot of really great shares this morning. I grew up in an area of Southern California that was extremely diverse in the 70s. A mix of people from a lot of different cultures was very normal for me. And even though, you know, it's funny how people of different walks of life tend to group together. You know, we were still in the same classrooms and passed each other in the halls, and you know, for the most part, we're very friendly, and I don't know, had a healthy love, like and love and respect for each other. And so I'm grateful that I had that experience in my childhood. I look around, I mean, you can't turn on the news today without having in your face, like, all the division in the world, and it's disheartening. I mean, I've been in a funk this last week because, you know, after doing a 10th step and talking with my therapist, you know, there's a lot of ugly in the world, and it's just, it's very disheartening. But when we come into these rooms, you know, it's just this beautiful experience, and we get to put all of that aside and just be another person struggling in a world that it's not always easy to live in, and work through our own isms, our own character defects, our own struggles, and learn to not harm ourselves by eating, you know, to
Karen,
deal.
Can I ask you to wrap up because we almost have to close? I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no problem at all. That's it. I'm just grateful to be here and
Thank you so much for your share. Jordan, I only have 1 minute for you. I'm so sorry. If you can use that minute, I'd love to hear from you.
Hey, that's okay, Kathy. My name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. I'm in Colorado and very grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent this morning. I just wanted to say, what's so amazing about reaching a larger number of compulsive overeaters, the bottom got raised. This was like a time when folks had started to really lean into talking about their own stories in a way of like, what does hitting bottom feel like instead of what does hitting bottom look like? Because I got to tell you, it's really hard to relate in for the newcomer when we come in and compulsive overeaters, we are so into the way things look, man. You know, like we got deep-seated body image issues and all kinds of stuff. So it's so important that the people in the rooms and those in recovery and talking about recovery are talking about what it feels like, you know, because feelings are a very human thing they're relatable across all the different intersections that we've been talking about this morning. And that's, it's like, that's the language of the heart. That's the language of recovery. So when I first came into both AA and Overeaters Anonymous, I was relating to compulsive overeaters that looked very, 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 very different than me, and alcoholics and drug addicts that looked very different from me. But they were talking about what hitting bottom feels like. And I got that. Like, that is, that's the key. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L., for wrapping up our shares today. And thank you to everyone who listened and shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Vanessa, are you there? Okay, is there someone else who would like to read on page 164? If not, I can read it. Anybody else want to read it?
I can do it.
Who was the first person?
Vanessa.
Oh, you got there. Okay, great, Vanessa. Go ahead. I'm sorry I didn't hear you.
That's okay. I double muted myself, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.